Tonight, on this Holy Thursday, we celebrate the memorial of the Last Supper and the events that occurred on that sacred evening. On this night, we also remember how in a period of less than 24 hours, the apostles saw their Messiah seemingly collapse into the hands of his enemies and be betrayed by a kiss. Tonight, we celebrate three realities that took place on that original Holy Thursday night. The institution of the sacraments of the sacred priesthood and the Most Holy Eucharist, and the law of love that our Lord now asks of us. Now, over the centuries, much has been reflected upon these three mysteries. But for the purposes of this evening, I want to reflect briefly upon how these three gifts, the priesthood, the Eucharist, and the commandment of love, all point to our Lord and should draw us into a greater reverence for him. First, the priesthood. On this sacred night, Christ ordained the 12 men who had followed him from the beginning as his first priests. He did this because he knew he would soon be leaving them. Through their priesthood, he would be present through them. When they forgave sins, he would forgive sins. When they would speak his words over bread and wine in his name, he would become present on the altar. When they sacrificed their lives for him, his likeness would be seen in them. Christ set these 12 men apart to have a union with him that would require their complete selves. He did this knowing that two of his apostles would abandon their vocations that very night, Peter and Judas. Peter, however, would return repentant. Judas would not be able to forgive himself. These two betrayals symbolized the brokenness of the men that Christ willed to ordain as his priests down through the ages. For Peter and Judas would be only the first of many priests who would abandon their vocations for lesser things. Greed, lust, pride, fear, to name only a few. In fact, the greatest divisions in the life of the church would be caused by Christ's priests. And to this day, so many people remain at home this evening who would otherwise have been here tonight if it weren't for the failing of the priests. Yet Christ knew his presence through the faithful priests was still worth all the failings. Christ knew his people needed a tangible sign of his presence in this very broken world. And so, he left us the love of his heart, the priesthood, his abiding presence through broken men. I have personally seen Christ's presence working through my own brokenness because of the sacrament of holy orders. Some time ago, I was called to a local funeral home. A person had died tragically through suicide. The family was coming to view the body, but the mother wanted someone to be with her as she viewed her deceased child for the first time. So, she called for a priest. For to be arm in arm with a priest would be to feel close to Christ during the hardest moment of her life. It would not be myself, but Christ and his priesthood who would walk arm in arm with her to the coffin that day. I remember another time, during my first assignment, I was called to anoint a man who had been run over by a truck not once, but twice. I rushed over to the hospital, anointed him, and then left. Late that night, I was called back to the hospital. The man's family had arrived, and they wanted to speak with the priest who had anointed their son, their brother. They were so thankful that he had received the last rites before he died. Though they were heartbroken at his death, they felt a peace because they knew Christ had been there with him in his last moments, giving him the graces of anointing the sick to unite his sufferings over to the cross and have his sins forgiven. Yet, it is not simply my experiences of the priesthood that show me Christ's presence through the sacrament. I think of the great priest saints down through the ages who have made Christ's presence known in very difficult situations. I think, for example, of Father Joseph Kowalski, a Polish priest imprisoned in Auschwitz concentration camp, who, on July 4th, 1942, was drowned in a barrel of excrement in the penal unit because he had refused to trample on his rosary. I think of Blessed Stanley Rother, who was shot to death in the middle of the night in Guatemala in 1981 because he had preached against the corruption of the government and its treatment of their people. I think of John Paul II, who spoke strongly against the communism of his day. These priests, and so many priests each day, make Christ present through their actions. When people are in need, they want a priest. Not because of the priest himself, but because they want Christ. Therefore, the priesthood leads to reverence for Christ. It points to Christ, because it's all about Christ. Let the whole world of mankind tremble, the whole world shake, and the heavens exult when Christ, the Son of the living God, is on the altar in the hands of a priest. So said St. Francis of Assisi. Though priests are broken through their fidelity to their vocation, Christ is able to be revered, reverenced, and made present in the most darkest of human situations, allowing the light of Christ to seep through. Second, the Eucharist. On the night before he died, Christ left us his greatest gift, the Eucharist, the gift of himself. The Eucharist is what sets us Catholics apart from all other faiths. The Eucharist is the source and summit of our faith. The Eucharist is why we gather on Sundays. The Eucharist is what nourishes us to get through the week. The Eucharist is Christ's gift of his enduring presence. Lo, I will be with you always until the end of the world. This is what he told his apostles before he ascended into heaven. This statement is most true in the Holy Eucharist. As St. Francis of Assisi once said, "The Lord of the universe, God and the Son of God, so humbles himself that for our salvation, he hides himself under the little form of bread." Now, Christ knew that he would be entrusting himself under the appearance of bread and wine to fallen human beings down through the ages. He would be entrusting himself to some priests who had sacrificed their lives for their people, embodying what it means to be a priest and victim. Yet, by giving himself humbly over to his church in the form of bread and wine, he'd also be entrusting himself to some priests who would offer the sacrifice of the Mass on Sundays, but live lives of depravity when they were alone. Tonight, thousands of Catholics no longer believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Many Catholics, when they come forward for Holy Communion, receive our Lord as if they were receiving a cracker, hastily putting him into their mouths without thinking about whom they are receiving. We hold and touch him who in the very same hands we use to commit serious sins against our sexuality. We receive him into the very same mouths that we are not in church speak profanities and impure words that degrade the dignity of the human person. Yet Christ knew this, and he did it nonetheless. Why? Because he loved us to the end. He knew we needed him. When we approach the altar to receive him, our actions should point to others, should point to others that we know whom we are receiving. Our recognition of what the Eucharist is, who the Eucharist is, should bring us to a profound reverence for Christ. When we kneel at Mass, we should not simply be going through the motions. It must be truly a sign of adoration for our God. Cardinal Ratzinger, before he was Pope Benedict XVI, once recalled one of the writings of the Desert Fathers from the 300s. A certain priest at that time had had a vision of the devil. He said the devil looked, quote, ugly with frightening thin limbs, but most strikingly had no knees. For the inability to kneel is seen as the very essence of the diabolical. Non serviam, the devil told God Almighty, I will not serve. Yet we as Catholics must show through our actions, our reverence for the Eucharist, that we are willing to serve, that we love our Lord, that we will risk everything for Christ in the Eucharist. In this diabolical age, we must stand out as people who adore our Lord and not mock him. I now think of the story that Archbishop Fulton Sheen once told, a true story, about how when the communists took over China, they imprisoned a priest in his own rectory near the church. After they had locked him up in his own house, the priest was horrified to look out of his window and see the communists proceed into the church, where they went into the sanctuary and broke into the tabernacle. In an act of hateful desecration, they took the ciborium, which held the sacred hosts, and threw it on the ground, with all the hosts spilling out. The priest, having celebrated Mass earlier that day, knew exactly the number of hosts in the ciborium, 32. When the communists left, they either did not notice or didn't pay attention to a small girl who was in the back of the church, who had seen everything that had happened. That night, the little girl came back. Slipping past the guard at the priest's house, she went into the church. There she made a holy hour of prayer, an act of love to make up for the act of hatred that had occurred there. After her holy hour, she went into the sanctuary, knelt down, bent over, and with her tongue received our Lord in Holy Communion. The little girl continued to come back each night to make her holy hour and receive our Lord in Holy Communion on her tongue. On the 32nd night, after she had consumed the last and 32nd host, she accidentally made a noise and woke the guard who was sleeping. He ran after her, caught her, and beat her to death with the butt of his rifle. This act of heroic martyrdom was witnessed by the priest as he watched grief-stricken from his bedroom window. That little girl loved the Eucharist. And because of that, she had utmost reverence for the sacrament that would put most of us to utter shame. We must desire to have that same reverence for Christ and the Holy Eucharist. Lastly, the law of love. At the Last Supper, Christ told his first priests, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Through this command, this law of love, this mandatum, would naturally apply to all of us as disciples, it was first and foremost spoken to his priests. They were to be living models of Christ's love to their people. Christ would wash their feet. exemplifying the self-sacrificial love that the apostles were to show to others. St. Peter was horrified that the Lord of the universe would wash his feet. Yet Christ taught him that he first must be a priest's servant as Christ was. For by being a servant to his people, St. Peter's actions would point back to Christ. People would be brought into a deeper appreciation and reverence for Christ through the loving, self-sacrificial actions of the apostles and the priests down through the ages. Now, all of us Christians must take Christ's commandments seriously. We are to be other Christs in a fallen world, putting the needs of others first, humbling ourselves. That was the love of Christ. That was the love of the priesthood. And that was to be the love that all Christians needed to learn to emulate. By doing that, their actions would point back to Christ and give reverence to him. The priesthood, the Eucharist, the law of love. These three realities come from and point back to Christ. If we truly understand them to the degree that we can, we will be naturally moved to greater reverence to Christ through them. For we will see Christ's abiding presence in them. We will see Christ's love that is so unique. It is a love that the world cannot give. A love that is so great that it remains in Christ's church 2,000 years after his ascension. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen.